Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios in New York. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Don't forget, summer's here, so there's baseball action daily. PharrellOnTheBench.com has you covered. All the plays, every day, every game, everything on the board, even boxing and MMA, we got it all. PharrellOnTheBench.com, the best picks, the best price, buck a day, son, sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. All right. It was good having Scott Miller on. Do you blame him, Mafia, for staying in Anaheim? Mike Trout, do you think he did the right thing because he'd be mobbed in Philly or on the East Coast playing for – you know, he would have only played for the Phillies.
Probably. I mean, that seems to be the thing. That it would have been stick with the Angels or come to the hometown team. I think the thing for him is he seems to be a lot like Kawhi, where he's probably the best player in the game but doesn't want the attention that comes with it, which it is what it is. So if that's what he wants to do is avoid that, you know, the eye of the media, avoid being the poster boy for MLB, avoid being the guy they put on every weekend on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, then Anaheim's the perfect spot for him because it's another situation like what we're talking about with Kawhi, with the Clippers and Lakers. You have the Lakers there to take the attention. So if he goes to the Clippers, yeah, you can make him good. They can contend. But still, LeBron's going to take the attention. He's going to take the media. He's going to take the focus. The same thing with Trout. You have the Dodgers. The Dodgers are incredible. They're one of the best teams in baseball. They have Kershaw. They have, you know, these big names that take the attention away. So the other team in that area up in Anaheim, they kind of slip under the radar, and he can just play there, do his thing. And even though he puts up some of the biggest numbers in the game, you barely hear about him in other parts of the country because the focus is drawn away to the other L.A. team. So it works out perfect for him.
So, the Dodger fans could care less about Mike Trout.
Right. A lot of fans in other areas of the country could because, you know, the East Coast fans barely see him because it's late. You know, these other areas are focused on their team or focus on the big ones like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, like the Red Sox. Angels don't get that play, so he's able to kind of fly under the radar and just hide there.
So Harper has 13 homers and 54 RBIs. He was no hits tonight. He scored a run. He got on a walk, but he hit. He actually had 7 hits in the last week and 2 doubles and a home run and 5 RBIs, 7 walks. So he actually has been turning it up a notch. In June, 11 runs, 20 hits, 4 doubles, 3 home runs, 13 RBIs while hitting .260. Mafia, do you think Harper's starting and Carver High? I wonder what he thinks. Are they? Do you believe that he's starting to come into his own in Philly or not with the 13 and 54, but the way he's played in June and the last week? Or because I was telling you about Machado. Machado's been killing it.
He has. And, you know, that's another guy that might be the same kind of way as Trout. I mean, obviously, he's a guy that has done huge numbers and is a great player, like Harp was like Scott Miller was saying, I'm sorry, both ways on both sides of the ball. But played in Baltimore, put up big numbers, and was great. Then went to L.A. in the trade to the Dodgers, got under the eye of the media, got under the intense focus, said some things, got him in trouble. Now he goes to San Diego, kind of back under the radar, putting up huge numbers again, just doing his thing, not having all these people on him after every game and bombarding with questions and attention, and it's working out well for him.
What do you think? Do you think?
I think he likes being in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, Trout?
Oh, he loves it.
But what about Harper? Who do you think's doing better, Machado, the way he's been on fire lately, or the way Harper's been picking it up?
Harper's under a lot more pressure, obviously, because they want to win right now. The Philly fans feel that they brought Harper in there to a team that was getting better last year but absolutely collapsed in the second half. They think that they should be a playoff team this year. There's a lot more pressure on Bryce Harper. I think that Machado might be having the better year right now.
Well, I mean, I told you, I was in Pittsburgh, and, you know, what he's done, actually. So he ends up in that 8-3 win over the Orioles. He hit a home run. He drove in 2 runs, and the, Padres won the game. But just so you know, this is what he's been doing lately. His numbers have been absurd because he's been tearing it up. So here's, I have to find this, but it's very impressive because I saw him hitting home runs. So two hits tonight, a run, the home run, two RBIs, and a walk. The last 7 days, so the Pirates and, you know, the series before that. So he had 10 hits, three doubles, four runs, two home runs, seven RBIs, a walk, and hit .435 in 23 at-bats. In June, he had 19 runs, 27 hits, seven doubles, seven home runs, 20 RBIs, and seven walks, and hit .325 in June. So it's obvious that Machado's doing better. The numbers don't lie. He's tearing it up, and he's just been on fire. He's already hitting .281 with 17 homers, 49 RBIs, and he's been very impressive. All of a sudden, he's doing it. For the season, 47 runs, 82 hits, 14 doubles, 17 homers, 49 RBIs, 33 walks, two stolen bases, .281, .358, .503 slugging, .861 OPS. He really is incredible, and he's just starting to get it on either. I saw a couple of so Puig lost his mind tonight. Right now, I think he's losing his mind. I'm watching this live. Puig is lighting up the ump. I think he just got thrown out of the game. He had to have, right? I just saw him just cussing out the home plate ump. Did he not throw him out? He had to have. Now he's starting up on another ump. But he was cussing him out. There's no way this guy's still in the game. You got to be kidding. They're not going to throw him out? I just saw him drop like five bombs. And I like that strike call. Strike three call. Right at the knees. Right on the outside, black. He got him. He got him. I don't know who he's mad at now. He's talking to like his third umpire now on his way out. But maybe they didn't throw him out of the game. But he was livid. They're losing to the Angels 4-1. And the manager's still arguing with the home plate ump. I saw more action tonight. Who did I see Joe West throw out of the game tonight? He tossed somebody tonight. So, I love when Joe West throws. Have you ever seen his hook? He can barely lift his arm hook. It was Gabe Kapler, the Phillies manager. He gave him one of these. He gave him one of these.
Carver. Second time in four games gotten tossed.
But he gives you one of these, Carver High, like a little. Just get out.
Get him out of here.
I would get him out. Now they're throwing him out. He left his bat at the home plate, too. He's livid. Puig. I mean, he looks like a muskrat with that hairdo of his. What happened there? Somebody really got him with the blonde muskrat look. The honey badger thing he's got going right now. It's like a mohawk with a blonde, like, thing going. It's really bad. It really is. Well, we have to make fun of him as much as possible. You can't deny. Oh, I don't know. I thought that was a strike, too. What do you think of those strikes that he was throwing? I thought they were all knee-high, right on both. Oh, there he is. That was when he threw him out. Goodbye. And then he dropped an FU on him. A Pharrell U. You saw it.
Very close.
But I thought those pitches were right there. They could have gone strikes easily. Mary Ellen in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Get her a Guinness.
Thank you. I needed that.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for saying RBIs. I'm so tired of people being stuck up and saying RBI. 21 RBI.
Yeah, I don't know about any of that.
Everybody's got a stick stuck up their butt.
I don't know about that either.
I do.
All right.
And nobody's getting Max Scherzer, not the Yankees or nor nobody, because we love him in Washington. He is a joy to watch.
Oh, you mean like Harper?
Oh, that's different.
Oh, how is that different? They loved him too.
Not he wasn't.
Don't kid
Max
yourself. Don't kid
now.
Yourself. He the two of them. I mean, are you kidding?
I'm serious. We loved Max Scherzer more than we loved Harper.
Really?
Yes. And that was asked. People, that subject was broached in Washington radio. And we love Max more than we loved Harper.
Well, I don't know. One guy plays every day. The other one plays every 5 days. I think Scherzer's incredible. He's the best thing that they have, for sure. But I don't...
And Max is considered one of the leaders of the team, even though he's not an everyday starter.
So Harper wasn't a leader?
No, not the way Max is. Max is more vocal, and Max is more of a leader.
But I'll give you this much. Harper was every day there, and he was the man in D.C. I don't know what you're talking about. Like
Max, Max even went over and was a cheerleader for the Capitals when they won the Stanley Cup, and he led the cheers for the Capitals. So I mean, did the
Capitals give him a ring? Because he didn't get one with you guys. Maybe the Capitals gave him one of those Stanley Cup rings.
They should have. But he's not going anywhere. We love him too much. He's like.
Were you disappointed that, listen, shut up. Were you bummed out at how quickly, like, the Capitals' reign lasted?
Yeah.
Like, it was like one season and then bye.
I know. It was way too short.
Who did they, what point did they lose again, Carver Hyde? Did they lose it? What
round?
First round?
Yeah.
Always.
They went out in the first round. Who beat them?
Carolina.
Carolina
beat them.
The first round.
Oh, God.
They obviously off the cup last year. They lost 7 games to Carolina.
Are you surprised that they went out so quick?
Yeah, but we lost, who am I thinking of, Carver?
So are people saying now.
We lost your coach, Barry Trotz.
Yeah, Barry Trotz. Are people saying that, and I saw Brooks, didn't Brooks Orpik just retire or something today? And no one's going to lose any sleep over that. But he had a good career. He won a cup there and in Pittsburgh. He had a pretty good career. So are the Nats are 2 games under 500 now. Are people there, they actually think they're turning it around now, and there's no way they'll ever let Scherzer out of there?
No, we're not letting him out. I mean, you'll see Strasburg go before you'll see Scherzer go.
I believe that. I believe that would happen probably. If I were them, I would not let Scherzer leave at all.
No.
But what would you do if they got a bounty for him? Like, you know, like the AD trade. Like, don't you think Max Scherzer's worth, like, 5 great players and picks or something of that nature? Like, some, you know, just outrageous deal. To get your hands on Max Scherzer, you would have to give the Nationals everything. They could, like, clean out the Yankees to get him.
I still wouldn't want to trade him. I mean... He's got such charisma and he's such a hard worker and he's such a leader that I wouldn't want to lose him.
Do you think everyone on the team should punch someone else on the team to get a shiner and a broken nose so that the whole team plays with him?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a black and blue mark under his right eye now too.
He's got like the yellow thing going. That like
it's getting yellow on the other eye.
Yeah, that pale yellow look.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Yeah. Carver High likes to punch people in the face and give them that look.
Oh, he wouldn't hit you.
Yeah, he would. All right, I'll see you, Mary. 855-212-4-CBS. Call the show, you femmes.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Mafia, what are the numbers tonight so far in baseball for me?
So far, 10 out of 12 and possibly 13 out of 15 with the way these 3 games are looking right now with their scores.
So I'm already 10-2 in baseball
picks.
Already
10-2.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't get my baseball picks if I were you because, I mean, I got 2 games wrong. I mean, I got 10 right, but the 2 I got wrong would really, you know, be a problem for you. So I wouldn't recommend getting my picks because, you know, I hit every game but 2. You know, there's 15 games. If I get 13 out of them right, I really suck, don't I? PharrellOnTheBench.com, son. Stay focused. Anyway, Carver High and I have been doing calisthenics, getting ready for Las Vegas. He did tell me tonight that he wants me to start getting in the sauna for 10 minutes every day at 110 to get ready for the outdoor sauna-like microwave oven temperatures of Las Vegas on July 18th through the 21st.
It's going to be hot out there those days.
So you prepare by getting in the sauna.
That's it.
Have you ever gotten in the sauna and it's so hot your like gold chain burns your skin?
Yeah, you can't have that.
Can't have it. You're working on your calisthenics, right? Getting ready for the trip already?
Absolutely. Less than a month away.
Right. There you go. We're going to see Pacquiao Thurman. I actually think it's going to be violent, that fight. It's going to be a good one.
I'm excited.
And it's not ending in three rounds either. Mark my words. Thurman's not knocking him out in the first three rounds. That guy's too good. He's too good to be knocked out. I've never seen anyone knock him out, right, where he's just in trouble. Tell me when you've seen Manny Pacquiao in big trouble. I mean, three rounds in, he'll be working him. He'll be working him three rounds in. Pacquiao's going to throw hands. Know that. That guy throws the whole fight nonstop. He's 40 years old. It doesn't matter. He's 40 going on 30. You got to admit, right? You have to admit it. Even though Carver High and I are both rooting for Thurman. But I'm telling you, man, he shows up. Believe me, you. And that fight he lost to Horn, he won that fight too, by the way. Jordan in Calgary for Alberta. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, so I got a couple of questions here about the Sharks.
Right.
What do you think of Erik Karlsson's $11.5 million 8-year dollar contract? And do you think that's going to hamper the team with $26.5 million being tied up to three defensemen? Now, granted, they are three all-world defensemen, but they're probably going to end up losing Joe Pavelski. But do you think they could maybe end up signing Artemi Panarin, even though they have, like, a cap struggle?
Yeah, I don't think he's going there, to be honest with you. But I will say this. I heard about Pavelski leaving as well, but I don't – that's a guy I would not want to lose if I were them. I think they actually – Carver High, do you have a problem with that? Like, I think they I think they picked the wrong guy. I think I'd rather have Joe Pavelski on my team scoring and being the badass that he is than Erik always injured Karlsson. And they gave him a boatload of money, too. And I just think they're going to get nailed on that deal because I bet you in 5 years that guy can barely walk.
I mean, we've been talking about this a lot the last couple days on the aisle seat because Anders Lee, of course, is up for a contract, and it's been brought up. I mean, these guys that get 7- and 8-year deals, you almost always are going to pay in those last 2 or 3 years of those deals, right? I mean, almost always. All these guys usually sign those deals when they're 27, 28, 29 years old,
right.
And those deals are going to end when they're in their mid-30s, and most of the time they're not going to be the same player that they were.
Right.
The thing with Karlsson, who's 29 at the time, right now, and he hasn't really played much the last 2 years. So that makes it a little bit tougher when that deal, he's going to get to 34, 35, 36. Now, look, Pavelski, I think they're nuts. They're going to let this guy walk.
Right.
They are going to let him walk, and I'm going to tell you why. Our friend Jordan there, like, you're not signing Artemi Panarin, dude. Like, you got $14 million in space right now, and you've got a litany of unsigned players. I mean, it on and on. I mean, whether you had Nyquist, he's a free agent. Joe Thornton is. Obviously, Pavelski. They've Timo Meier is an RFA. You got to pay him. There's a lot that the Sharks have to do. And Panarin by himself is running around this week looking for, 11.
He's got 5 or 6 offers.
$11 or $12 million. I mean, he's 5 or 6. It's going to be the Panthers, the Rangers, the Islanders.
Who's worth more money right now, or is it the same money? Is it Panarin or Duchesne?
Panarin's going to get more money than Duchesne.
Do you think Duchesne should stay in Columbus?
He's not going to.
He's not
going
to?
He's going to Nashville.
Automatic.
I think so. That's the one free agent that if you ask me to be, that's as strong as I am with any of the guys. Duchesne's going to Nashville.
Could you see this guy here, Gerald's calling from Dallas. Could you see Pavelski going there to the Stars?
I could, actually.
I could see that. Gerald, how's it going?
Doing well, Pharrell. How are you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Well, yeah, so that ties into my question. Everyone would love to see Zuccarello re-sign in Dallas.
I think he will. I think he will.
You think he will?
Oh, he's saying he's not already?
He's not, but the reports are saying that him in Dallas, he's getting offers from a bunch of teams. And that he's probably not going to be back in Dallas.
Really?
Which is opens the door more for them to try to get a Pavelski.
There you go. Well, so you heard it here. Carver High says that he's got too many good offers elsewhere to stay there.
But so do you think that Dallas should?
I think they should. I think
Zuccarello. Zuccarello was fantastic for the month he was here.
I think Zuccarello's a good player. There's no doubt about it. I like him, but I think Pavelski's a better player.
Sure.
So I'd rather have Pavelski, but they don't have, you know, they don't have Pavelski. So they, you know, they still have a line of communication, I would think, with Matt. So I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, Carver Hyde says he's not staying there, but we'll see. He's got probably multiple offers. The guy can definitely play. There's no denying that the guy's got a nice engine. I like his game. And they had a pretty good season. I thought they had a hell of a run, to be honest with you. They're pretty good. I could see why a guy like Pavelski would want to play in Dallas. He could probably get fat money and live large there and then tax-free and just rock and roll and play with a team that's already loaded and good. I mean, they're a good team. I think they're a good team. And, you know, Bishop did a great job, right, in goal. I think they're tough. There's no doubt about it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Your boy Machado just raking tonight at Camden with that home run. He hit it 455 feet, allegedly. I saw it. It was a bomb, right? And he had a single, too, an RBI single, two RBIs, his 17th homer. The guy's... I told you earlier, he's on fire. So the Dodgers took the lead. I think they may have just beaten the Diamondbacks. 3-2 at the very least. I think they finished that game just now in Arizona. I could be wrong. But, oh, it's two outs. What are they, switching pitchers or something? Jansen was in to close the door. They're in a break or something? Oh, maybe I'm watching it on MLB Network. They took it off of there, right?
Yeah, they took it off of there. It's still 1-1 count, two outs, bottom nine.
There you go. And the Angels are up 5-1 on the Reds. And I told you earlier, Texas won 5-3 over the Tigers. Yankees 4-3 over the Jays. All home runs there. LeMahieu hit one. Judge hit one. They hit back-to-back. Gleyber Torres hit one. Phillies 7-5 over the Mets. And that Padre win was 8-3 with Machado going off. Red Sox 6-3 over the White Sox. Royals 8-6 over the Indians. Nats 6-1 over the Marlins. Braves 3-2 over the Cubs. Astros 5-1 over the Bucks. Seattle 8-3 over the Brew Crew. Twins 9-4 over the Rays. A's 7-3 over the Cards. And Giants 4-2 over the Rockies. 855-212-4CBS is the number to get on the bench. So they were, you know, talking about the Knicks and, you know, the KD thing. Let's face facts. Now, I don't sit here and want to talk about the Knicks every night because I'm here. It's just that they are on the table for all of these, you know, big free agents. You know, they have a lot of money to spend. And they're in the hunt for everybody. You know, they want Durant, Kyrie, Kawhi. They want, you know, whatever they can get their hands on. Julius Randle. They're talking about the Morris brothers. But the bottom line is this, is that they believe that if anyone can come back from an Achilles tear and surgery, it's Kevin Durant. Now, the New York Post reported the Knicks believe, like I just said, that it's Durant that could do it. But other, you know, talent evaluators, scouts, have said that they don't believe that it's a good idea. It may look good now. Appear they had it right. He was coming until the injury. But it's hard to justify all that for maybe one good year. By the fourth year, I can see people wondering when he will come off the cap. So... New York was originally viewed as the heavy favorite to land both Durant and Kyrie on the open market, but the outlook has certainly changed. Now it's like, what, the Nets are favored to get him?
Nets are the favorite to get both, it sounds like.
Yeah, Durant and Kyrie. But I just don't know if I believe all that. And then now I ask you this. Do you think that the guy will come back from that Achilles tear and be great again in the NBA for how many years? So let's say he did a four-year deal. He's not going to play the first year, right? He'd play 3 years. Do you think he'd be great for all 3 years with a you know, rebuilt Achilles? Then he'll be great because he's a great player. There's no getting around his superstardom. He's a great player. Do you think he'll be a great player for those 3 years?
I think he'll be a very good to good player. I don't think he's going to be great. I don't think he's going to be the dominant level that he was before he got hurt. Because this isn't the guy who's doing this at 26, 27. This is the guy who's doing it at 30. And while that may seem like it's not that old in life, in basketball, that's on the verge of being ancient. I mean, we talk about that with running backs in the NFL. And the NBA is getting to that point, too, where once you hit like 31, 32, for the most part, these guys are getting pushed out for these young kids now. So for him to come out and,
how many years do you think he'll play at a high level in the NBA when he comes back? Let's say, do you think he'll play for 5 or 6 years?
I think
seven?
The Knicks would get two and a quarter of really solid,
excellent
play. You got to remember, too, he's not going to play a whole year. So that's a whole year of not wear and tear. So
right.
He's not going to play next year. So that's, you got to figure that.
He's going to be in rehab.
Well, I know, but it's not like playing an 82-game NBA season.
Right.
So that's 1 year further that he could maybe go. And you figure the year that he comes back, it's going to take him half to three quarters of the year to really get to himself, you would think. Even though he's going to have it, and I brought this up last week.
You think it would take him three quarters of a year to get going?
No, I'm saying half the year. Just, 40 games before he gets really
fair enough
back in the field, you know? And I said this to you last week, and he's going to really miss out on a year and a half because they're going to play all next year, and then you have the offseason and then play. If they were playing games next July, maybe he'd be playing, but there's not. So he's going to have also July, August, September after the year, along with the entire year. So that's even more time he's going to have to rehab and get ready and get right. So maybe it won't be a full, half a year or three quarters of a year before he looks
like
himself.
He might come out and just start exploding.
Very possible, because it's a year and a half since he's played.
Yeah, but even if you give him all that rest, the thing is then you got to get him back into the field of the game and playing at a regular level night in, night out. You know, with the NBA the way it is now, they're not going to put him out there every game. They're going to sit him, play him two games, sit him two games. You're not going to see him for half the games the first half of the
management.
Season. Right. It's going to be ridiculous how often he's not playing for all the money you're paying him. So it's just hard to – I mean, because
so
especially this isn't
that?
A guy who's been healthy the whole time. Let's not forget that. This guy has had problems with the legs before. So, I see it being a much more – I don't think he's going to be completely to the situation of Kobe Bryant where after the Achilles when he was just done. But I think it's going to be closer to that than what people are thinking. They think – well, he's going to come back and he's just going to be Kevin Durant. I don't think that's going to be the case.
So if he blew out the one, what makes you think he wouldn't blow out the other one?
Or that something else is going to pop up as, maybe he's worried about the Achilles when he first comes back and something else gets hurt the same way that the calf was hurt and then all of a sudden he blew out the Achilles when he came back.
And he broke that foot before.
He's broken the foot. He's had, hasn't he had other leg issues, whether it be knee or,
right.
There's been issues with him throughout the years.
So, you would think that when he gets older – that it's going to rear its ugly head again.
Right. If you already had problems with the feet, now you got problems with the Achilles. Those are the two things connected right there, the two worst things besides maybe the back that you can have as an NBA player.
Oh, I think the feet are the worst. If you have bad feet, you're screwed. And I, honestly, I had it.
That's Greg Oden.
It is brutal.
That's why people were shy on Bol Bol. They're like, wait a second, a 7-footer with bad feet at this age? I don't know.
That's exactly all you need to know. That's all you need to know. If you have bad feet, plantar fascia, bone spurs, you name it, ankles, broken Liz Frank, any of that, to tell you, I just don't like anybody that's got a history of that stuff. It'll come back. Why is it that guys, I'll tell you one thing, guys that roll their ankles a lot, it just happens. It just keeps happening. Because they never get their ankle back to what it was, right? It happens.
And, the way I think, I know the Knicks have been waiting years for this. As a Knicks fan, I have been. And it's tough to then sit back and say, well, he's done, now we're screwed again. Especially with a guy like James Dolan as the owner, he wants that big splashy name in there to bring people in there and make sure, they're selling out anyway, but make sure they keep coming, put a name on the marquee. But it's almost like the better situation for them is what they talk about with the Lakers, with the money they have after LeBron and AD, is to take that money and spread it on a bunch of good players than to just throw it at one guy that you think is great and hope that he has the big name that you need in the big play. Make a solid team instead of just one big name.
Do you think that Kyrie would rather play with Durant in Brooklyn or in the Garden?
Certainly seems like Brooklyn at this point.
So if he signs, when does this all happen? July 1st?
Right. I believe that on Sunday at 6 o'clock.
But the 30th, they can start talking.
Yeah.
But then there's that whole moratorium where they can't sign for another week until after.
Right, to the 6th.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll know on the 1st where these guys...
They can start talking on the 1st. Not everybody comes out right away. How many times we sat there and we got to wait 5, 6 days or 2 weeks, some of these guys will drag it out.
Baseball did that. But I wonder if basketball is going to do that.
We have that with these guys. They want to take their time. They have these meetings. They spread them out. They sit and they talk to the family for 2 weeks.
Do you think we're going to have to wait that long to see where these guys go?
Some of the big names you might. Some of the other guys, some of the other pieces will fall in there and just take whatever deal's thrown at them. But you might have to wait on Kyrie or KD or some of these other ones. Kawhi. Kawhi I could see taking 2 weeks for sure.
So here you go. Celtics, Lakers, potential landing spots for Vucevic, the guy from the Magic. The Clippers, Mavericks, it says here likely landing spots for Horford. This is from Greg Schwartz of Bleacher. The Wolves up to something with D'Lo. I wouldn't want to go there if I were him. Honestly. Isn't that where you go to, like, isn't that like Siberia going to play there? I mean, honestly. The Mavs, no offense to everybody, but it is. The Mavs, Kemba's their target. I don't see that either. I really don't. What they have is Doncic and Porzingis. That's what they got. And I don't, you know, there's no way do you seriously believe Kemba Walker's going there? I think he actually, when I heard Boston, I thought, oh, now there's a reality. There's something that could happen. But I still think he's staying. And then the Rockets think they have a chance at Jimmy Butler. And so now, allegedly, they're really, you know, flat out pursuing him. And, so the Nets front runners for Durant, and Kyrie's recruiting him there, and Leonard seriously considering staying with the Raptors. We've heard all of that, but you know, we've also heard that he's considering the Clippers, and now we've heard he's considering the Lakers, and now we've heard that the Knicks want to pursue him. I don't believe for 1 minute that the Knicks are getting him, but the Rockets are eyeing a sign and trade for Butler. And Butler would be eligible to sign a 4-year, $140 million contract on the way to the Rockets. But Houston would need to include two of these players, Capella, Gordon, Tucker, to make the financial deal work. I told you before on this show many times, and I'll say it again, I think they'd be willing to move Gordon and Tucker, particularly Tucker. That's my thinking. And now it's pretty obvious in the last few weeks that they've been – open to moving Capella, right? Because it's really, you know, that's what we've heard time and time again, that those are the guys, they can't move Harden or CP3, nor do they want to touch Harden. They want Harden to play there until he doesn't drop 35 a night anymore. He's going to play there. The minute that guy's scoring 25 a night, that's when you'll know he's finished there, right? Because when he's scoring 35, he's too valuable. He really is too valuable. And but the Lakers have believed for weeks, even though they acquired Anthony Davis, that they would be a factor in the Kawhi chase. And I don't believe that. So here's another one. The D'Lo, the Suns will sign a veteran point guard, and Devin Booker has campaigned for D'Lo, his close friend. But the Suns may not share in his enthusiasm. They have only about $14 million or so in cap space as of now. We'll see how Phoenix approaches the point guard market. Now, he's restricted anyway, right? So whatever they offer him, the Nets can match and keep him.
If they so choose.
It doesn't matter what anybody does. Ujiri's staying in Toronto. They're confident about keeping Kawhi. And Porzingis will get a max deal, 5-year, $158 million from Dallas when they can afford to do that, when it's legal to do it. But it is absolutely crazy, these you know, all these big-name players moving. It really is. So how about Kobe saying to Giannis, my man, MVP greatness, next up, championship. The question begs. The guy won the MVP. He was unbelievable. There's no denying it. Will he win a championship in Milwaukee? Will he get them a championship? Will he do the next thing? The next step for Kobe is a championship for Giannis. He's already accomplished the MVP, best player in the league. Will he carry the Bucks to a championship and bring them a trophy and a parade to Milwaukee? Will he do it? What do you think? I don't know.
I got to see what pieces they add.
So you don't think he can do it alone?
Who does it alone?
Not really anybody.
I mean, do you consider that Kawhi did it alone this year? I think he had a pretty good supporting cast around
him. Nice cast. I'll give you that.
It wasn't like multiple superstar
Did you think Milwaukee had enough? Like, they had a lot. Remember, they had the bench that was so wonderful.
Lost to him.
But now Middleton's opted out. They're going to have to pay him big. They might have to get rid of guys like Brogdon or Brook Lopez because of that. It could be a big shift in what their makeup is next year.
All right, we got another hour. Do you think that he can win a championship in Milwaukee? 855-212-4CBS.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.